Romans 8, verse 28. If you will stand, would you find your place? Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. Let's read one verse to you, and then we're going to move over to another passage in Genesis. But it says in Romans, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." You can be seated. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you done for us. Lord, thank you again for blessing us, allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, I pray, heavens, I preach, pray, give me words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. I read across some today in my studies, and it led me back to that verse there in Romans. And we've looked at that verse pretty good bit, even in Sunday school with Brother Fred. Came right across that verse a few different times. We know what the Bible says, that all things work together for them, for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But do we really believe that all things work together for good to them that love God, and then they're called according to his purpose? Do we believe that? Many times we don't act like it. Something comes up, and we say, we never say it's here for good. No, we complain. Often we wring our hands, we worry, or we complain, and we just don't understand or agree with the way our life is going. At least for me personally, maybe you're a lot more spiritual than I am. Do we really believe this verse? Do we act like we believe this verse? If we believe it, we should start acting like it. I've heard this phrase before, why do bad things happen to good people? I want to start something here tonight. It may turn into a series. It may just be here tonight. I'm not sure. But I want to look at some examples in the scriptures of some folks who had some bad things happen to them that really, looking from the outside, just it didn't seem fair. From the outside looking in, it seemed like all they had was terrible things happening to bad things happening to good people. But once you get to the end of the story, we can see God's hand working in the entire situation. If according to Romans 8, 28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, if that's the case, then why do bad things happen to good people? I want to preach a little bit on that here tonight, if the Lord will help me. And look at this. First message here, the sale of Joseph is our first example here. Why do bad things happen to good people? Number one, look at the sale of Joseph. How did that work together for good? Does everything really work together for good to them that love God? Is Romans 8, 28 true? Personally, I believe it is. All scripture is true. Go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. We're going to turn to a couple different passages in Genesis, but it'll all be pretty close here to the end of Genesis. Starting there in Genesis 37, verse number 28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, it doesn't sound like a very good thing to happen to Joseph. And I know I skipped over a bunch of the life of Joseph, and I did that for a reason. We know the story of Joseph. He has the long-awaited son of Rachel by Jacob. He was Jacob's favorite son, and Jacob now called Israel. He wasn't afraid to share that with everybody else. Everybody knew he was the favorite. He didn't hide anything. He made Joseph the coat of many colors. Did you know that that coat of many colors is more than just a coat? It's true. Joseph was the firstborn son of Rachel, Jacob's second wife, Jacob's wife he loved. The firstborn son of Leah, which would be Jacob's firstborn son, would be Reuben. Reuben would, there, according to Jewish history, would get the birthright. But we know that Reuben messed up and sinned with his father's concubine, Bilhah, Rachel's concubine, her servant there. Because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, he did wrong things, he sinned, he messed up, he lost his right to the birthright. Then, according to Jewish law, the next wife's firstborn son would then get the birthright, which would be Joseph. So Reuben lost it and went all the way down line to Joseph, the firstborn son of Rachel. That coat of many colors is not just a coat. That coat of many colors he was being given the birthright. He said, I don't know about that. 1 Chronicles 5:1, now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. Passed down to Joseph and his sons. So you see, there's a problem in this family, a problem with jealousy, a problem with favoritism. But despite all that, Joseph on his own really hasn't done anything wrong that we can see, that we learn from his life. He is, from what we know, what we can read about him, he's doing right. Every time we see him, he's doing right, standing right. We don't find bad things coming out of Joseph's mouth. We don't see wrong decisions coming out of the life of Joseph. It's just, he always makes the right decision, always does the right thing, always stands for the right thing. Yet in Genesis 37, 28, then they're passed by Midianite merchantmen. And drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Joseph, the one he's done right, he's got the birthright, he's doing everything, he's standing right and doing right. He's a young man at this time still, but he's doing right. And we see him being sold into slavery. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why are bad things happening to Joseph? Joseph, despite being the one that stood right and did right, despite him doing everything he knew to do was right, he's thrown in a pit. They threaten to kill him, and they decide to sell him instead. Going through some bad things. He said, "Preacher, that doesn't look to me that all things work together for good for Joseph here." And hold on a minute, his story is just getting started. This is just the beginning of Joseph's story, really just the beginning of Joseph's problems. You can read about the story of Joseph all the way in chapter number 50 of Genesis, the last book of the last chapter of the book of Genesis. Why is the story of Joseph so big? We can read a whole lot about, we can read his entire life here in the scriptures from the life of Joseph. We read about him. Why is there such an emphasis put on Joseph in the scriptures? I believe there's a reason for that. Number one, it's an explanation of circumstances. We need to hear the story of Joseph and all he went through in order for Exodus to make any sense. Joseph played a vital role in the history of the Jews, of Israel. Joseph is the entire reason the nation of Israel is in Egypt to start out with. We need the story of Joseph for Exodus to make any sense. He plays a vital role there in history. Number two, we know about Joseph because of the example of conduct. We have the story of Joseph because he's such an example of how to live right and do right and start right and to stay right despite what happens around you, despite what other people do to you. He teaches us dignity, he teaches us respect and how to stay right when you're being accused. We need him as an example. He's an exaltation of Christ. Joseph is used as a type of Christ in the Bible. He's a picture for us to lead us to Christ in the New Testament. All through the Old Testament, you see types of Christ. Joseph here is a big one of those. The purpose, the reason we have so much written about Joseph, because all he went through, and because what he stood for, and because who he represents. So you see the life of Joseph. Now all that's good. What does that have to do with the sale of Joseph? And what does that have to do with everything working together for good? So far for Joseph, he's had nothing but problems. When we come here to chapter 37, as a young man, he's loved by his father, but he's hated by everybody else in his family, by all his brothers. He's now been sold into slavery. How in the world is this going to work together for good? Let's look and see. God used the sale of Joseph, I believe, number one, so Joseph could find God's will. Genesis chapter 50, a couple chapters over. Go ahead and turn there. Chapter number 50, the very last chapter of the book of Genesis. It says in chapter 50, verse number 19, this is Joseph talking to his brothers. And Joseph said to them, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God." Joseph is closing out his life here in Genesis chapter 50. He's going to die at the end of this chapter. He's saying his last words, and he says to his brethren, the brethren that sold him into slavery, the ones that supposedly from the outside in ruined his life, he said, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God." He says in the next verse, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto me good, meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." Joseph realized that he is where God wanted him to be the entire time. God used the sale of Joseph so Joseph could find God's will for his life. God's will was for Joseph to be down in Egypt. He just had to endure some hardships in order to get there. Number one, we see God's plan and his will. No plan for his will for Joseph. We see God's plan. The plan was God had to move Joseph into a place where he could be used. God used Joseph in Egypt. God had to get him down there first. Joseph isn't the only one that God did this to. For Elijah, God dried the brook to make him move. God made him, he was thirsty, he had to go somewhere else to find food and find water. He dropped the brook to make him move. For the prodigal son, God let him come to his senses while eating the slop in the pig's pen. God let bad things happen so he could realize where he needed to be. God's plan is not always what we would have in mind. For Joseph, we'd probably have this big elaborate idea of how the Pharaoh in Egypt would hear of Joseph's wisdom and his might, how he would invite him down to Egypt and put him on the throne. That's the plan we would come up with. That's the plan I would come up with anyway. That's the one that feels comfortable for me. That's how we would picture it. And that's how we like for it to work out. When in reality, it took a pit, and it took slavery, and it took accusations in Potiphar's house, and it took being in a prison, and it took a famine to come to the land before Joseph was ever put in the position that God wanted him to be in. Joseph had a bumpy road. It's part of God's plan. God wanted him to be there. God's plan might not always be fun for the entire trip. Might not always be pretty. You rest assured it's a good plan. It's going to work out if we just believe him and stick with it, just follow him. We see his plan. We see his purpose in God's will. The plan was to move Joseph into a place of usefulness. The plan was to move him to a place of usefulness. The purpose was to better the life of Joseph. How does that better his life? How so? Psalms 119:67. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. I believe the purpose of the tragedies Joseph went through, they bettered him. Because number one, they increased his surrender according to Psalms. The psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept that word. After the afflictions, I learned to keep your word, Lord. After you put me through trials and afflictions, then I learned to trust you. I learned to increase my surrender. I wonder how many trials we go through to teach us just to trust him. Not only did they increase his surrender, but number two, they ensured his stability. 1 Peter 5:10, it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's encouraging right there, isn't it? After you have suffered a while, then you'll be established and you'll be strengthened. You can, and it'll settle you. 1 Peter says, you're going to suffer. But it's going to strengthen you. It's going to establish you. It's going to settle you. You know when the foundation is most important? The foundation of home. You know when the foundation is most important? When the storm comes. You don't have a solid foundation. You're the first place you look when the storm comes. You look down to make sure your foundation is washing away. There's nothing like a storm to make you put down some solid roots. Nothing like a storm to make you put down a foundation. I believe God had a plan for Joseph, and the purpose of it was to surrender him and to establish him, stabilize him, make him put down, make him put some roots down, put some faith in God. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why was Joseph sold? To find God's will, to get him where he needed to be, to make him put down some roots, to build a foundation in Christ, learn to trust in Christ. Bad things happened to him. He was sold to find God's will. Number two, he was sold to fulfill God's work. Verse number 20, Genesis 50, verse number 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. And God's work for Joseph, the work God had planned for Joseph, we see two characters or two roles that Joseph fulfilled in his life. We see a slave and we see a statesman. Two completely opposite positions. Proverbs 15:33, it says, for the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Before honor is humility. Humility before honor. Before Joseph could be a statesman, he had to learn to be a slave. We see as a slave there in chapter 39. Turn to chapter 39. In verse number one, Joseph as a slave. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house, after all and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. We find Joseph down in the Potiphar's house. He was a slave in Potiphar's house. Being a slave taught him humility. He went from being the birthright heir and his father's son. He went from being his father's favorite. Now he went to the bottom of the totem pole. He had a bottom of the slave pole there, I guess, and worked his way back up. Being a slave in Egypt, he developed his character for service, taught him how to serve, taught him how to follow, taught him how to work. But notice he didn't just stay any old slave. It says that he was a prosperous man. Joseph found grace in the eyes of his master in Potiphar. And pretty soon he was overseer over his entire house. Joseph is now, he's still a slave, but he's in charge of everything Captain Potiphar has. He's in charge of his cattle. He's in charge of his gardens. He's in charge of the other slaves. He's in control of the books, if you will. He's in charge of everything that Potiphar had. A slave, Joseph, just a slave. God put Joseph in this position, first teach him his character for service, and he used him to teach him his capacity for service. Where do you think Joseph learned to lead a nation? How else do you think he learned how to be second in command of Egypt later on in his life? How do you know how to do that? He's second in command in Potiphar's house. How did he get put there? Because he's sold into slavery in Egypt. God has a purpose. God has a plan. Joseph is working to fulfill God's work, even as a slave in Egypt. God is working. God has this all worked out and planned out so Joseph could learn how to fulfill his role later on. I love this part of Joseph's story. There's nothing wrong with being successful. Even as a slave, God allowed Joseph to be prosperous. He allowed him to run up through their ranks in Potiphar's house. If you're an employee, I don't think we have any slaves here. It might feel like it sometimes. If you're an employee, you ought to strive to be the best employee you can be. That's not what I'm not saying sell your soul to the company. Don't get me wrong there. That's not what I'm saying. You ought to strive to do the best at what you do. You ought to strive to be the best you can be. I used to even be a mechanic. You know that. I used to strive to be the best that I could be, try to learn as much as I could, and try to make himself, try to make as much money as I could. That's the whole purpose of being there. Lord blessed it. There's nothing wrong with striving for excellence. There's nothing wrong with striving for success. Joseph, as a slave, was successful, second in command at the captain of Potiphar's house. Even as a slave, see Joseph's success. Why? Because he was in God's will, doing God's work, following God's plan, trying to do his best as he could, trying to follow what the Lord had for him. The Lord used it. See Joseph as a slave. See Joseph as a statesman. Genesis chapter 41, verse number 40. Thou shalt be over my house. This is Pharaoh talking. And according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set over thee all the land of Egypt. He put him in charge. We skipped over some there, but we no longer see Joseph a slave. Joseph is now in charge, second in command of the entire nation. He was over his parents' house while he was home. He was over Potiphar's house while he was there. He was over the prison house while he was there. Now he's over Pharaoh's house, all that he had. What is happening? All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because God has a plan. He's doing something. We see the selection of Joseph. Everywhere he goes, he's being promoted. We see the service of Joseph. Genesis 41, verse number 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. The seven plenteous years the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered of all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt. And laid it the food in the cities, the food of the field which was around about every city laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn of the sand of the sea very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. Joseph got to work. Joseph was prompt. Joseph, he was prepared. He worked. He had a plan. He was prosperous. Joseph was precise, and God blessed abundantly for his work. Why was Joseph sold into slavery? To fulfill God's work. And that he did. God allowed him in all these different situations. God put him in these different situations, all these different circumstances to shape him into the man he needed to be. He went through some trials. He was sold as a slave. He was almost killed, then sold as a slave. And then he was put in Potiphar's house. Then he was accused, and he was put in prison, stuck in prison. The man lied against him. He was stuck in prison for so many more years. A famine had to come before he was ever allowed to get out. But God blessed and God moved in his life to get him into a position in Egypt where he could keep the land prosperous, even in a famine, and in turn save his family, and in turn save the entire nation of Israel. Why was Joseph sold? To find God's will and to fulfill God's work. Joseph's life doesn't seem so bad now, does it? He sure did endure some hardships along the way. Number three is that he was sold in slavery. Joseph was sold to further God's ways. In Genesis 49, we get the last words of Israel, last words of Jacob to his sons, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Chapter 49, verse number 22. It says, the father, Jacob, Israel, the father, talking to his son Joseph. Verse 22, and Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of that deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of the progenitors, and to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crowns of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. The first part, the verse 22, catches my eye. Joseph is a fruitful bough. It says, even a fruitful bough well, whose branches run over the wall. He calls Joseph a branch that is strong because he's by a well, strong enough to reach over the wall. Joseph, at first off, he's near a well. What does that mean? Psalms 1, verse number 3 says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And that verse in Psalms 1, you know what it's talking about? It's talking about a blessed man, a blessed man. You want to be blessed? You want to be a blessed man? You want to be prosperous? You want whatsoever you do to prosper? And plant some roots down deep by the well. And we say, what's the well? The Word of God. Plant some roots down in the Word of God. Put it down in your heart. Hide it in your heart. Live by it. Follow it with your life. Follow it with your family. Abide by God's laws and God's ways. Use it to teach your family. Raise your kids by the book. Teach your family by the book. Control your finances by the book. You do that, you'll be like the man in Psalms 1. Be like Joseph. You know what Joseph went through? He lived right before God and before man. God blessed him for it. God used him. He furthered the work of God with his life. He did more. He saved the nation of Israel with his life. Jacob also talks about Joseph stretching over the wall. I believe that means the impact of his life reached further than just his life. He reached beyond the wall. His impact on Egypt lasted longer than just his life. He protected the people there. His impact on his family lasted longer than just his life. He died, but his family was still protected in Egypt. Because of God's working in the life of Joseph, the entire nation of Israel is kept alive through the famine they were in. Hebrews 11, verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he attained witness that he might was righteous, God testifying his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Dead yet speaketh. I believe Joseph here, he's dead yet speaketh. His life still makes an impact. He's reaching over the wall, both on Israel and even on me. I've learned so much from the life of Joseph myself. I believe we all can. So is Romans 8, 28, is it really true? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them are called according to his purpose. Is that true? Sure was in the life of Joseph. Why do bad things happen to good people? At least in the life of Joseph, it was there so he could find God's will, fulfill God's work, and further God's ways. God had a plan. God has a plan for your life. Joseph had endured some hardships for a short time. Seemed like a long time at that point. He was second in leader of the entire nation by the time he was 30 years old. He went through a lot. The Lord got him through it pretty quick. He had endured some hardships for a short time. Is there anyone here you say that's going through some hard times? Maybe what you're going through just doesn't make any sense. Maybe nothing as drastic as being sold into slavery. I hope not. And being accused and thrown in prison. I hope not. Going through something nonetheless. Can I encourage you tonight? If Romans 8, 28 is good enough for Joseph, I have a feeling it's good enough for the rest of us too. If everything works together for good to them that love God, if it works together for good for Joseph, I believe it worked together for good to us too. Let's pray.